Do you know the movie The Lion King? In it, Scar kills King Mufasa and then blames Simba, King Mufasa's son, who was just a child. A child who trusted his uncle Scar. A child who had no reason to question the lie. And instead of being protected by his family, Simba is pushed out, shamed, and sent out into the world, believing he caused something he didn't do. He carries guilt that never belonged to him and holds a story forced upon him. If you can relate to being blamed for something you didn't do, then maybe you are the family scapegoat in your family system. However, once Simba realized he wasn't to blame for his father's death, Simba began to take his life back, and so can you. It takes immense courage to recognize and overcome being the scapegoat in family systems. Today, let's discuss how to do just that. Welcome to Lessons for Life with Grandma Kate. If you want to stop yelling, end the daily power struggles, or manage your frustration better, but don't know how, you're in the right place. I get it. I was there too. Each week, I share simple, practical life lessons to help you develop your own social emotional skills so you can be the calm, confident inspiration to others. The life lessons from today's episode can also be found in the link to the blog post in the show notes. And if you're looking for inspiration to start implementing these life lessons, consider signing up for my weekly newsletter where I focus on one lesson each week. The link is also in the show notes. New episodes drop every Thursday, so hit that subscribe button. And hey, if something here speaks to you, leave a quick review to help others find these life lessons too. Like a lighthouse, steady and strong, let's all shine a little brighter today. So what is a scapegoat in a family? A scapegoat is the family member who gets blamed for problems they didn't create. They become the go-to person whenever tension rises in a family, even if they had nothing to do with it. It's like when parents' finances are a mess due to their poor decision-making, but they blame the child that goes to college. Over time, that role becomes so familiar to you that you start believing you are deserving of the blame. In my own family system, after decades of being blamed for every problem, I eventually realized I was the scapegoat. For years, I kept asking myself, why? Why am I constantly being blamed for things I didn't even do? Here's the thing. You weren't chosen as the scapegoat because you were weak. You were chosen because you were the one who felt deeply. Notice what others ignored and refused to pretend everything was fine when it wasn't. In emotionally unhealthy families, the scapegoat is always the person who has empathy, awareness, and integrity. You're the one who speaks up, sets boundaries, and holds yourself accountable. And in turn, those qualities highlight the things your family and others don't want to face in themselves. Instead of doing their own emotional work, they push their discomfort onto the person who sees the truth most clearly. And that person ends up being you. Here are some signs of being the family scapegoat. Number one, you're kept outside the loyalty circle. No matter how hard you try, you never quite feel included. You're left out of conversations, decisions, or those small moments where family closeness should happen. It feels like everyone else is inside a warm house laughing together while you're outside in the cold looking in through the window. And number two, you get blamed for things you didn't do. This one came up earlier, but it's a classic sign. Scapegoats are blamed for problems that started long before they arrived. If anything goes wrong, people point the finger at you first, even when it makes no sense. You become the family's easy target for everything uncomfortable. And number three, criticism comes easily, but praise does not. Your mistakes are remembered and retold like folklore, while your accomplishments are ignored, minimized, or brushed aside. It's like the family keeps a scoreboard of everything you've done wrong, but never acknowledges what you've done well. And number four, your boundaries make them uncomfortable. When you say things like, "That hurt me," or "I don't like that," instead of listening or apologizing, they get defensive and turn it around on you. Your boundaries force them to face things they don't want to deal with, so they make you the problem instead of their behavior. Number five, you're held to a different standard. One set of rule applies to them, and a much harsher one applies to you. You're expected to tolerate things no one else would. It's like everyone else is playing life on easy mode, while you've been put on expert level with no extra tools or support. And number six, you carry the shame they should carry. Over time, you start to believe something is wrong with you when really you were carrying the emotional weight of the entire family. You carried what was never yours because no one else would pick it up. This past week, I had a moment when everything in my life finally fell into place. I realized that for as long as I can remember, I've been the scapegoat in my family system. I knew I was the scapegoat, but last week, I embraced being that person for what a scapegoat stands for. I've always felt like I didn't fit in. Not at school, not at work, and not in my own family. For years I thought, what's wrong with me? Why can't I blend in like everyone else? But this week, something finally clicked. Maybe nothing was wrong with me at all. Perhaps I was the one who saw things others didn't want to face. So I had to make a decision. Either I accept that I can't change the people around me, or I can stop absorbing the emotional hits that don't belong to me. And when I chose the latter, something inside me shifted. I began thinking about what this would look like. A life where my life wasn't defined by constant blame or guilt, or trying to earn a place in people's lives, but rather one where I learned to live a life where I stand up for myself, just like I do for other people. In other words, I decided to choose myself first. I can still care and stay connected, but I don't have to lose myself anymore. Understanding my role and then stepping out of it has been the most freeing thing I've ever done. And honestly, it feels really, really good. So here are seven ways to overcome being the scapegoat in your family system. Number one, notice and honor your feelings. When you've spent years being blamed or ignored, it becomes second nature to push your feelings down. But those feelings are important. They aren't flaws. They're signals that something wasn't okay. And one of the most powerful ways to understand them is to notice where they show up in your body. Maybe anger sits in your chest, or sadness feels like a heavy weight in your stomach. Maybe stress tightens your shoulders or makes your throat feel tight. Our bodies tell the truth long before our minds are ready to. When you slow down and pay attention to where the feeling is showing up, you can start to understand what it's trying to say. Number two, set clear boundaries. Being the scapegoat often means people crossed your boundaries for years and expected you to tolerate things no one else would. Now you get to protect yourself. That means saying no by stepping away from hurtful conversations or limiting access to people who drain you. Your peace matters more than their comfort. And the more you honor your boundaries, the more you'll notice who respects them and who gets uncomfortable when they can no longer control the old dynamic. Rewrite the story you want to live. Scapegoats grow up hearing a story about themselves that was never true. A story that said they were the problem, the difficult one, or the reason things fell apart. But you don't have to keep living out a script written by other people. You get to write a new one. This is where future projecting comes in. Start imagining who you want to be and how you want to feel, and let those thoughts become the new story you tell yourself. Instead of repeating the old messages, create ones that match the life you're building now. I'm allowed to take up space. I'm allowed to say no. I deserve respect. I deserve peace. When you change the thoughts you feed your mind, you reshape the story you're living. You're no longer repeating the past. You're creating a future that honors who you truly are. Number 4, be kind to yourself. Self-compassion is one of the most essential parts of healing from being the scapegoat. For years, you carried the emotional weight of the family without the support, validation, or understanding you deserved. Instead of criticizing yourself, start acknowledging your strengths that kept you going. Treat yourself with the same kindness, patience, and encouragement you've always given to everyone else. Start celebrating you unconditionally and the parts of you that refuse to give up on who you are today. And number 5, find support that feels safe. Healing doesn't happen alone. Surround yourself with people who understand family systems and emotional dynamics. People who make space for your feelings without dismissing or minimizing them. Look for people who sit with you in your harder moments instead of telling you to just get over it. And number 6, build new healthy connections. You get to choose the kind of people you let into your life now. Choose people who respect your boundaries, value your voice, and treat you with the consistency you never got growing up. Healthy relationships rebuild the trust that was broken when you were held to harsher standards than everyone else. These new connections help you experience what love is actually supposed to feel like: steady, respectful, and safe. And number 7, let go of blame, especially self-blame. You didn't cause the dysfunction, you didn't create the chaos, and you definitely didn't deserve the blame. Letting go doesn't mean forgiving the people who hurt you. It means finally putting down what was never yours to carry. Free yourself from the weight of other people's behavior and give yourself credit for the ways you learned to survive. When you start healing from being the scapegoat, something powerful happens. You begin to model the kind of emotional safety you never had. Kids learn more from what we do than what we say. When they see you setting healthy boundaries, speaking kindly to yourself, and walking away from harmful behavior, they learn that they can do the same. Your healing teaches them that they don't have to carry other people's moods or mistakes. They don't have to chase love or earn their worth. By breaking the old family patterns, you show them a new way forward, one where honesty, respect, and emotional safety are the norm, not the exception. And here is your life lesson. Radically accepting that you are the scapegoat in your family system can become one of the most empowering things you will ever do. It means finally accepting yourself for who you are, instead of twisting and bending into whatever other people want you to be. For me, I'm no longer fighting my sensitivity, my honesty, my intuition, or the way I feel things deeply. I'm honoring all the parts of me that others didn't understand or didn't like, and that has been liberating. As empaths, we're conditioned to put everyone before ourselves. We're taught to absorb the moods, fix the problems, smooth things over, and make sure everyone else is okay. But now, I'm choosing to honor my needs too. And I'm learning that when I do that, I actually show up as a better, healthier version of myself for the people who truly matter. My wish for you is simple. If you realize you've been the scapegoat in your family system, hold your head high. It says something powerful about who you are. You were never the problem. So stop carrying the blame for things you didn't do. Stop shrinking to make others comfortable and start honoring the strength, awareness, and courage that have always been inside you. Whether you're figuring out your own feelings, working through a tough moment as a family, or learning how to talk things through with others, you're practicing the emotional life skills that help us grow into the people we're meant to be. Listening is wonderful, but nothing changes unless you use what you've learned. So pick one life lesson from today and try it out this week. That's where the magic happens. And if you're looking for inspiration to start implementing these life lessons, consider signing up for my weekly newsletter where I focus on one lesson each week. The link is in the show notes. And if you want to keep building your social skills, hit follow for more from Lessons for Life with Grandma Kate. If no one has told you lately, everything will be okay. Tomorrow is a new day, and with it comes new hope. As I conclude this episode, I must state that this podcast is designed solely for educational and entertainment purposes. While I bring my experience as a parent and grandparent, it's essential that you know I am not a licensed therapist. This podcast is not a substitute for professional advice from a physician, professional coach, psychotherapist, or other qualified professional. Got it? Awesome. Until next time, what is one thing you are grateful for?